Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 114 of Game Store Profits, the podcast where two guys talk about God and games and the amazing Venn diagram that happens when the two of them overlap. My name is Mike Perna.
My name is Jeff Romo, and now I'm thinking about diagrams.
Dude, you're a role player. There's not a time in your life when you're not thinking about diagrams.
That's right. My brain thinks in spreadsheets, but
sadly, one thing that I'm not thinking about right now is the fact that neither of us is at BGGCon right now.
Yeah. You know what? If I was allowed within the city limits of Dallas, I would totally have gone.
Had some problems?
I grew up in Houston. Things were said. You know, trains hijacked, whatever. It's all in the past.
I went to school down there, which basically means that there's a portion of the populace who thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the other hope that I never come back. Now, as we are recording right now, Board Game Geek Con is happening. My internet blew up with all the pictures of people. There were even pictures of people playing games while online to get badges and stuff. It's an amazing experience, and maybe at some point in the future I'll be able to get down there. Sadly, because I do have friends down there, not, you know, game media related people, but like people I know outside of gaming who are in Dallas right now, and I could be hanging out with them and saving money on hotels by living with them for a little bit. But
and all those people who think you're sliced bread.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Hey, man, that cool thing about this con is that it's not, you know, it's not about selling or anything. It's just about the art of playing. So, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear it.
Board Game Geek Con, from what I've heard, I have yet to be there. But from what I've heard, it's just sheer numbers. Instead of, you know, 64,000 plus, you're talking like 4,000. I don't know what the official number is. That might be low, but it's definitely not nearly the kind of numbers. And it's right. Not about selling stuff or promoting stuff. I mean, there is going to be people there promoting their games, but primarily it's mostly there to go down and hang out and play games together. Which just...
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, why I wouldn't even... I'm not surprised to hear they're breaking out games in line. You know, somebody says, hey, I got a pack of Sushi Go here. Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, it ain't even Sushi Go, man. I've seen pictures of all sorts of stuff happening just on the floor in the middle of the convention hall.
Nice.
But, you know, dare we continue talking about how jealous we are of the people that are at BGGCon right now. You know... One thing that has happened right now, while we can't say that we're in Dallas, we can say that something is happening this month that we are participating in, and that's the fact that the Inroads Ministries website has been up for the past 2 years now.
Yeah. I had no idea, man. You're the one who informed this or passed this information on to me earlier this week, and I looked back and I was thinking, nah, it couldn't have been 2 years. So I'm like looking back at the old articles and I'm thinking... Wow, it really has.
If I'm not mistaken, and it's hard to say because there's when the article's posted and it's when we actually got everything set up, but I believe that the Inroads site officially went live on November 15th, which would mean that we are literally in the... We're 3 days in to pass the 2 year mark. And... You know, it really is kind of crazy. The other day, I was looking for some reference that I made in the podcast a long time ago, and I was listening to old episodes of Game Store Profits, and that, if you ever want to see a very tangible, very real example of how God has really done a lot in the ministry, listen to our old episodes, because... Man, we were completely and totally green, knew absolutely nothing about this thing called podcasting, and even didn't even know what Game Store Profits was going to look like yet.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, though, you can go back to those earlier episodes, and aside from the sound of hand cranks and wireless routers spinning in the background and stuff, no, I'm just kidding. It's not even that bad.
Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all our ships at sea.
But I mean, you know what? The cool thing is that while production values, whatever you want to call it, have moved or shifted or gotten better or maybe slightly worse, you never know. The overall content and the target of the podcast hasn't really changed much at all. And I think that's cool that we've been able to stay close to the heart of what we're trying to do, as far as using board games and using games as a way to connect with the larger community. So it's kind of nice, yeah, like you said, listening to some of the older podcasts, but still kind of getting that same feel, that same message. Things get refined over time, but the heart of it's still there.
Well, and that kind of brings us to what this episode's going to be about. This episode is going to be a little bit off of norm, though it's not going to be so off of norm that I'm calling it a bonus content episode. We're going to get a couple of those in the near future, but this is a legit full episode of the podcast. However, normally about this time we're talking about what games we've been playing, and sadly, you and I have both hit a severe dry spell in the ab actual ability to go out and play games right now.
Yeah, between moving and then 60-hour work weeks and prepping for other stuff, yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah, and so we were talking about this before we started really recording this episode, and thought that this would be a good time to kind of start that end of year reflection. Now, we're gonna, probably not next episode, but the episode after that, we're going to have our traditional now end of year kind of, I don't even want to call it awards thing, because we don't really give out anything. We just say, these are the games that we like in various categories.
Right.
But so in not next episode, but the episode after that, we'll get them out there. But I do want to try and just take a minute and talk about, as we've now had the website up for 2 years, which means that I would say that Inroads Ministries has been in full swing now for just over one, because that first year we were just dealing with logistics and even what it meant, what Inroads Ministries meant.
Trying to figure out what we're doing.
Yeah,
You know, I mean.
that first year, we were still definitely having discussions about what it actually meant to do ministry the way we do it.
Yeah. There was what we were having board meetings almost twice a month, trying to like really nail down the message. What areas do we need to look at? How are we going to plan for, in the future being a nonprofit, all that stuff. Man, I can't believe how far we've come.
And that's just it. We really have seen a lot go on in the past 2 years. We've gone from this has been just a fun little idea, something that could be awesome, all the way up to where we are now. And even where we are now is really just the absolute beginning of where we hope to be. There's a lot of stuff within like a 5-year plan that we've got going on that is really kind of ambitious, and we're really kind of in that place where we're just praying as we take each step, trying to get that much closer to where we think God wants us to be. But I want to take this episode to really kind of reflect on what we've already seen, kind of the stuff that has brought Inroads to this place where we are now, and then kind of transition and really talk about where we hope to go. And if you listen till the end of the episode, or towards the end of the episode, we're going to unveil something that we're going to do. Now that we actually have our nonprofit status, we really want to do a big kind of campaign to really push us, especially going into next year with a lot of the stuff that we want to see happen next year, to really kind of see that come to fruition. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that's going to look like. But Jeff, let's just start out, because I want to start talking about with you, because I can pontificate about Inroads till my face turns blue. I do it on a semi-regular basis. In fact, that's pretty much with an event coming up at my local church here that we're doing in support of the youth group.
Right.
I spent a lot of time recently just doing that, talking about what Inroads is about, and a lot of people have started asking me about the state of the ministry. So I can do that forever and a day, especially because of the fact that it was not that long ago that you actually, you and I were exchanging emails and said, "I really want to step up." You went from "I'm going to be an almost silent partner" to, being a co-host on this podcast and dominating our YouTube channel. So
it's been a robo domination. That's right.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you've seen and some of the things that you've kind of witnessed as we've gone through the past 2 years?
Well, yeah, you know what? You hit the nail on the head as far as like going from kind of a silent partner to, you know, getting my face out there and being a part of this podcast and stuff. And, you know, definite shout out to you and to Luke and those that have trod these steps before me, and of course the people out there who are listening and still sticking around with me on the other half of the mic. But yeah, in the beginning, the whole picture of what I saw as of En-ROADS was, you know, being able to bring my hobby, the love of my hobby life into this arena, and that it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive from my faith. You know, when I think when we first did an interview with me and also with Mike Bosch, it's been about a year and a half ago, we were talking about how it was so mutually exclusive, this hobby of mine and then my faith, that when I first came into faith, I put my hobby aside. I still obviously would watch Star Wars repeatedly and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, gaming and...
You don't just wipe away geek. It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, yeah. And the thing that's really great about this is that it brings a facet of faith that's so important that a lot of people put aside, is that when we come to faith, you know, the Lord has brought you to a certain point and said, okay, I'm going to take hold of you now. You know, somebody's witnessed to you, planted that seed. Now I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on you, and I'm going to dominate your life now. And we often forget that the Lord finds us where we're at. He meets us where we're at. He's not going to try and, you know, he's not asking people to come along and tell you to clean up first before you come and meet the Lord. It's where you're at. And all of the things that made me who I was or who I am right now includes the loves of my life. You know, it's not just that I'm so happy in my marriage and I'm happy with my friends. It's also the other parts of me that make me who I am. So what En-ROADS has kind of done for me over the last couple of years has helped to put that into focus, real sharp focus, because now I realize that I'm not tuning my horn at all, but I'm a much better game master now than I was years ago. I had a lot of fun with it years ago, that sort of thing. But now I have the aspect of saying, I can honestly say the people I look around, you know, digitally or around the table, I can honestly say I can love these people. I am free to love these people because the Lord has put it on my heart to be that example at the table. And I'm just like, man, that is a huge responsibility, but it's hugely awesome. So that's a big part of what I've seen En-ROADS do in my life over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's part of the message that we want to bring on a regular basis. So,
well,
yeah, that's kind of my up to now point.
Well, yeah, you kind of hinted at something, and I kind of want to see if maybe you can expand on it a little bit. Like you talked about, like, now I'm this, and you just went on about, you know, being a better game master and stuff like that.
Sure.
One thing, just, I know for me, it just in any case, let alone because of this ministry, like there's stuff that happens throughout the course of doing just ministry in general that you start getting refined and changed, and you really start, you know, finding your wheelhouse, as it were.
Right.
And I know, even looking back at what, you know, just the way I spoke on the podcast, because we've been doing, oh my goodness, you think 2 years of En-ROADS, we've been doing the podcast now for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
And
that's an amazing feat in and of itself. That's a huge act of faith to stick with this. And then plus, again, the folks listening have just said, continue, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm obviously just super blessed to be able to do this. I mean, in this day and age, you know, it's really easy to do a podcast, but it's not really easy to get an audience and to have them keep coming back and listening to you guys. So the fact that we have people literally around the world listening to us, that is not something I take lightly.
No.
But kind of, I want to think, like, how do you do ministry differently now? Like, I want to just think of something specific. Like, for me, even when we started En-ROADS, I basically said, all right, let's plan game days. Let's do that. And so in the early days of this, it's funny to say early days. It's only been a year and a half, 2 years.
Oh, in the days of yore when we first started doing this.
Back in my day, we did,
we liked it.
We're in that time frame right now where it's long enough that we go, holy crap, we've been doing this a while. But when you really think about it, we haven't been doing this that long at all. But early on, it was just about, get the people together, get them playing. Get the people together, get them playing. And one thing that I'm noticing is that, and this is something I brought up with folks in the tavern a while back when we started defining what it means to be an Inroads Ministries group and what separates that. And the big thing is that when you're doing ministry the way we do, thankfully, there are a lot of people out there right now that are doing game days in their churches, that there are churches that are excited about having game days. Heck, we've got a couple scheduled on the calendar right now. One of them is with my local church, but it's not the only one. We have other ones as well where churches are like, please come, please show us how to do this. And that I love doing that. And that's one of the big things that's going to happen early next year is that we have those on the calendar. And I hope to do more. I'd love to get one in a month at least.
That's not a far-fetched goal.
It's no,
not at all.
But see, the thing that I'm realizing as I keep doing this work and I keep putting in this time, it's that the game days are awesome and they will always be part of this ministry. It's always a huge portion of what we're doing, but it's just that it is a portion.
Right.
Because really the goal for this to be different than just getting people together to play and for us to be able to tell people this is why we hope to do this kind of ministry, it's not about just getting people together to play. And there's a lot of facets to that too. I don't want to downplay that because you need to get people trained on how to teach games, how to interact with other people. There's the logistics of actually making the day happen with food and leadership and all that other, that various stuff, decorating. All that stuff goes into making a game day happen. But the thing is it's filling in that space that happens after the game day is done.
Right. Like what's on the other side of, hey, I met so and so at this game day and we were able to play the Grizzled. Let's say you went total full drama and played the Grizzled, and on the other side of that you found out a couple things about so and so. So now it's like, how do you, I hate to use this word, but it's the only one that comes to mind, how do you leverage that opportunity to learn more about the person, that sort of thing? So it's like, what's on the other side of those game days, and how does we want to show fruit, right? We want to show how fruit can be found in this ministry. And I think that's, it's that intentional ministry, the intentional, you can even call it an intentional game day, where you were asking me just a minute ago about how is that, what was the question, how'd you ask it? You had a good way of phrasing it.
Well, basically just how do you do the ministry, and how has that been affected over the past year and a half, 2 years? Just
the
actual, this is what ministry looks like. This is, how do you go beyond just playing games with people?
Yeah. And you know what? I look at it from the standpoint of one of the first things that my wife and I did in ministry that was like a total step out in faith is to go overseas, do missions work. And one of the two lessons that I got from that, big lessons, this is before I got involved with En-ROADS, was the check your tool belt. Whatever is in your life that you have in your life is viable as a way to connect with people. So check your tool belt. Second thing, meet people where they're at. It's one of those things that I think it's said a lot in our church when it comes to ministry and when it comes to discipleship, but it's not often followed through. We start to try and say, if this person was more like this, they would get this message and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. Meet the people where they're at. So being involved with this ministry, how that's changed me and how I've worked with this ministry is the way I connect with people. I've got more tools in my tool belt. Because I have a whole history, a whole 27 year history of gaming and that sort of thing that I can connect with people. Realizing that role playing, that sort of stuff, can be involved with a whole bunch of different things that I do on a regular basis for the church. So anything from what we do with our marriage ministry to BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. I've been able to leverage role playing, not so much straight up games, but like role playing attributes in teaching children. You know, like, let's put you into the shoes of this, you know, this person. And, you know, this guy over here just mentioned this. What do you think? You know, how would you feel if this happened? So it's actually working that out. So, and I think I mentioned right before this call, we, you know, we're looking at work using a game called, and so say it again. And so we held hands.
And then we held hands.
And then I keep on saying either, and then they held hands or, and so we held hands. It's in, and then we held hands. To be able to use that game in our ministry, because it's just complete and total nonverbal communication and how do you connect with one another. And it's such a pure way of learning the other person on the other side of that table or the one that you're holding hands with. So, gosh, I feel like I'm totally spazzing out about how excited I am about the different aspects of how this has impacted my ministry. But yeah, and the thing is that it's hand in hand with what I think what we're doing with En-ROADS is that using the tool belt, meeting people where they're at, saying that, you know what, it's awesome to be a geek. It's awesome to be a nerd. It's awesome to be into Star Wars. It's awesome to be into role-playing games. And this is how you can make it so much more. You know, I told you I felt like I'm a better game master right now. And that's because not just the fact that I can sit there and say, I can love these people. I can love on these people that are around this table or in this digital universe, but I listen more. You know how you have that intentional ministry where you're truly, honestly listening. I listen more to the people when they're playing their characters and what they want and what they want to do so that I can tailor the game a little bit more. You know, it makes it so much easier for me to crush my little darlings. The idea that I have of how I want the game to run, I can so much more easily put that aside, knowing that this is part of my heart, part of my ministry, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm rambling now. I'm going to shut up right now and turn it back over to you.
Well, and I think kind of going off of what you said there, just that idea of listening more and being there for people and stuff like that. Obviously we could, it's hard to share specific stories because of the fact that this is in a ministry context and you can't, it's not good practice in any kind of ministry to go putting people's business out on the street.
Right.
So we can't really like point to and say, oh, well, so and so had this happen and such and such.
I got as specific as I can.
Right. But I do kind of want to talk about some of the people that have really come to bear in this ministry and kind of the interactions we've had. Now you mostly have been via online stuff, especially since we finally convinced you to get on Facebook.
Facebook.
Facebook, the necessary evil of our kind of ministry.
Yes.
But I'm just kind of curious to hear, you know, stories from you too, but I think there are certain things and certain people that we really need to just talk about. And I don't know, I'm trying not to get all like sappy Christianese and say, look, we need to love on our volunteers. Like I hate that, but sometimes,
but it's true though.
Sometimes the words just fit and I have to allow for that.
Yeah.
But there are definitely people as our community has kind of been established over the past couple of years. Now, I'm a firm believer. There's a reason why when we had to come up with a name for what to call people in the community, because people in the En-ROADS Ministries community is just way too much of a mouthful. The reason I picked regulars is because of the fact that once you come in, you're always a regular. If you're a part of the community, you are a regular. I believe that. I really do. But no matter the size of your community, there's always going to be that core group of people that you know that if you say, hey, we need this to happen, those people are going to be involved. And it's really important for any kind of organization at all, but especially a ministry, to have that group of people. And I really think that over the past year or so, we've really started to see that happen. And it's really fun to look back and see how things have developed. We joke, I joke with Heather all the time. We jokingly call her GameStore Profit's number one fan.
Yeah.
It's partly because she's been an active part of the community since the first, you know, couple months we started doing the podcast.
She's literally number one and
yeah, literally the first one who showed up. But but one thing that's really interesting is that in a way, and it's going to be funny because she's going to send me a Facebook comment or email or something complaining about the fact that I'm talking about her like this. Watching her progression in this ministry really is a microcosm for what we hope to see happen, because she went from this is kind of fun or gosh, maybe this might be interesting, to she's written for our site. She's, you know, she went from I've never played a role-playing game ever to DMing like three different games.
Yeah.
She actively found a way to connect with her son, and that was the two article series that she wrote about becoming a dungeon master for her son. Like that, I love those kind of stories, and that's why Heather, you know, she's part of our group right now for Inroads Plays Victoriana. Part of the reason that happened is because, you know, we've seen that happen, and Brent also from that is a huge part of how we do what we do. It's really interesting to see these people getting passionate about games and gaming, and not only to see that happen just because they happen to like games, but to actually see them putting stuff behind it and say, how can I use these games to, you know, this word's going to keep coming back. And it's because of the fact that it really is the difference between just getting a game day together and doing gaming ministry, is that aspect of intentionality about how can I be intentional about speaking into the lives of other people.
Right.
And, you know, this community is fantastic. It's my favorite collection of geeks on the internet. That's literally what I've typed more often than I can count.
Yeah.
But it really is true, because I've seen, in fact, recently I've seen a lot of Christian groups on the internet either fade out or go through massive acts of drama. And part of that is just sheer numbers, but we actually do have a decent sized group of people. And while regulars have been very clear about, you know, when they have differing opinions on stuff, we cross denominational lines, we cross backgrounds, we crossed, you know, all sorts of different lines that normally separate people. And you guys have been really good about keeping that not only civil, but really asking how can we keep this together for the glory of God. And I love that. And seeing that has been a huge blessing to the way we do this.
And it may sound like a silly thing, but if you're in this geek community for more than 3 months, you'll know that having a group where you can have board gamers and role play gamers interact, talk, be friendly, have debates, whatever, and not blow up Facebook is pretty stinking awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, it's that overarching intentionality. You know, what are we here to do? We're here to be friends. We're here to coexist and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to lift you up. You're going to lift me up. And it's just, it's that positive direction, that intentional direction up that really sets the group apart, in my opinion. Yeah.
So is there anything that you've been able to experience on your end of doing this, because as we don't often share this, it does come up every once in a while. We are on opposite coasts right now.
Yeah.
We always have been on opposite coasts right now. We've been serving together in this ministry now for 2 years, and I've never been in the same place with you. I'm still trying to fix that, maybe at Gen Con next year or something, but
I liked your train idea. That was pretty cool.
Oh, taking a train across the country and playing train games?
Yeah, we meet in the Midwest, you know, like in Kansas or something, or Omaha, and we play a few board games, and then we go our separate ways and go back.
Yeah, there we go.
Total game meetup, right? That's totally doable.
Yeah, we'll totally make that happen.
I don't know. We were saying the same thing about having a website and having a nonprofit 2 years ago. So you never know.
That's true.
This will be one of those things. I'll definitely be glad to eat my words. But
yeah. So like, what are some things that you've just experienced? Like what's kind of like a highlight for you as far as something that you've seen happen? Cause I'll tell you mine to start with. Mine is every time I go to Gen Con or every time we do a major game day, and somebody will come up, mostly it's happened at Gen Con, but there have been other times as well where people come up and have that moment. That moment that, you know, I've come up with different words for it. One of my favorites is inside outsiders. The understanding that there's a group of people out there who are inside the community of faith. They're inside, you know, this, you know, one group or another. But at the same point, even though they are an active participant in that community, they feel like they can't be 100% them. They feel like while they're amongst those people, and even though in those times when that group of people still feels like home, in a way they feel like it's home as long as they don't go all in. It's home as long as they don't share everything.
Right. That's like on both sides of it too. It's like in your Christian life or in your gamer life, it's like, don't get your peanut butter and my chocolate, you know?
Right. And so we get a lot of people that end up feeling like they have to hide a part of their existence. When they're with their gamer buddies, they feel like they have to hide being a Christian. And when they're with their Christian buddies, they feel like they can't be a gamer. And I was talking about it with somebody at church. And I love this man, don't get me wrong, but I am going to not point him out by name, but point him out as the fact that this is what happens. And this is why I think that this ministry is important, not only because we're doing it, but because I see more and more of this. I talked about the fact that while we were doing Extra Life, a guy on Game Church posted about how his pastor sent him this gigantic, like, super long email about how D&D is evil and he should stop playing it. And that was in response to saying, I really enjoyed getting together with my buddies and playing this game.
It was just a simple statement.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And while I do want to be the first person in there that says that pastor was trying to be there for the good of that person, it's not like he's being, you know, the dad from Footloose and saying, oh, them games, you know, you shouldn't do that because it's bad. It's bad.
Excellent source site, my friend.
I do what I can for you.
Yeah.
But it's not like the person was trying to be, you know, mean and nasty and take away the toy. It was out of trying to do the best for that person. But I said this guy felt like he was somehow a terrible, awful person for playing a game with somebody. And the letter itself didn't even have any kind of specific example as to why you shouldn't. It was like, I've heard it's awful. I've heard it's demonic, and I've heard this and that.
Right. And you need to be careful.
Right. You need to be careful. And suddenly this thing that was a great connection point between this person and their friends, or this person and any other group of people, suddenly becomes this untouchable thing. And I said to this person at church, I said, you know, as a body, not just locally, but, you know, Big C Church, we've done a terrible job of showing love to people who are gamers, who are into this right. stuff. We've done a terrible job of it as a body, and we aim to fix that. And his thought was, he's like, this is a hard pill to swallow. Like, I don't see, like, people would actually do that. And I go, I'm like, dude, people do this all the time. We have people writing us long emails. We have people talking to us at conventions in tears because they were so thankful that somebody would actually treat them like a normal human being.
Right. And the thing, the biggest disservice that, you know, again, the Big C, the Big Church can do is to single out somebody for their hobby or, I mean, because what you're doing is, in effect, you're saying that anything that you're doing within this hobby deems you unclean and untouchable. And, you know, that all that does is just throw up walls. That throws up alienation. And there's no way to meet somebody where they're at if you're not even willing to go there. And it's not to say, and I know we've mentioned this before throughout the history of the podcast, that if you're doing something that takes you away from God and takes you away from the church, and that it's something that, you know, overrides you, then yeah, it's something you want to stay away from. But if it's just like what we're doing, it's just a hobby, it's the way we communicate, it's how we vibe, you know, all that stuff, how can it be bad if it brings people together, you know? And how much more can we use that as another tool in our tool belt to share the love, you know, share the love of Christ? I mean, there's how many ways can you communicate with somebody? Well, that's an infinite way of communicating with people, so why shut one down?
Well, it was really interesting, not to just make it confusing by saying I was talking to a different person at church the other day, but I was. And sure. we were talking about getting together. It was actually in the context of, you know, my wife and I eventually, once we get the house settled, we want to do a housewarming and get a bunch of people over and just hang out and just welcome people into our home. Because that it's a big deal for me that you have a home that's hospitable and open, but to my wife it's even a bigger deal. Like that is her, like that's her spirit right there. Like bring people in, make them feel safe, make them feel at home in our home.
Right.
So we wanted to do that, and he and I started talking, and I said the big thing about doing gaming ministry is it's just like any other ministry. We don't have that teachable moment. We don't have that, you know, gather round children, we're going to have a sermon. But the way we view it is about intentionally stepping in and being like, this is what life looks like for me. What does life look like for you? How can I be a part of what life looks like for you? And that's built over the game. And he said that one thing that he would do, and he's actually thought about doing it again, he hasn't done it for a while, is getting a bunch of guys together to just sit around a fire in his backyard and like smoke cigars and talk about life together. And I'm like, dude, that's fantastic. I could never do it because any kind of smoke and I go badly real quickly. But I love that he can do that. I love that that's a place of connection that he has with people. And again, it starts with getting people together to hang out and smoke a cigar, but it doesn't stop there. It's that incarnational ministry. And really that's what we do. That's what separates what Inroads does and what we try to do and what we continue to hope to do in the future is providing that kind of understanding to churches. We want to step in and be like, this is how you speak gamer in a way that communicates the love of God. This is how you speak in a manner that will get you that buy-in to really be able to speak into more than the table. The table is the beginning.
Right. It goes beyond lip service. It goes into, again, like we were saying, intentional connections.
Right. And I kind of want to transition into things that we hope to see in the future because of that. Because one of the big things that there's so much going on right now that it's been slow going, but it's something that I've been working on. And hopefully we'll get into a place where I can open it up to you guys as well on the board. I've been working on the bare bones of what I'm calling the Inroads Ministries guidebook. I'm also toying with the idea of calling it the core handbook.
Nice.
Just the idea of this is the stuff that you need to consider when doing ministry the way Inroads does ministry. Because of the fact that we eventually do want to break out to the point where people can do this without us there, without, you know, having us doing what we do and like hands-on showing people. We want to be able to get, you know, materials into people's hands. And hopefully within the next year, that's going to happen. So we can have that fully established and in a printable form that people can get and really tear into. But it's really interesting because as I work through that, part of what is going on in my head is the idea. I have a very much a Gygaxian view of that book. I almost want to have the introduction where I say one thing that you're going to need to know is that you don't need this book to do the kind of ministry that Inroads does.
Right.
If you don't know the reference, if you're more on the board game spectrum and don't know that reference, Gygax was quoted as saying one thing we should never let game masters know is that they don't need these books, meaning the D&D core books.
Right.
It's a framework upon which you build and change and tweak everything to fit the group that you're in. And that's really what this is going to be. It's going to be, this is the general concept. And this is what we think is important. But you need to be able to have that freedom to make it your own. And so far, we've had a lot of great response to that. So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to, as the months go on here, to be able to codify that in a way that communicates that well while still giving people that kind of open framework, that kind of guideposts to doing ministry. And that's one thing that I hope to see happen sooner rather than later. But man, there's actually so much that we want to have happen. Like I said, I want to do game days once a month in churches. I want to do very hands-on, very this is what you need to do. And I'm super thankful that we've got our volunteer now. We've got Daniel out in Tennessee doing his thing, because he
go
is
Daniel. Go Daniel.
Daniel is kicking butt and taking names, and it's really exciting to see that happen, because it was fun because he asked me for recommendations for games, and so I printed up a bunch for him. I printed up, and it'll probably end up as an addendum or an appendix to the core handbook for Inroads. Just with these are some general things you should get. And he's taken it to heart. He literally has bought almost all of them.
I know, he's working it like a checklist, man. I mean, as he raised money, he actually went out and did a GoFundMe, and he's well on his way.
Yeah. And he's starting to see that kind of open up and have some opportunities there. Mm-hmm. And we love hearing that. We love hearing about the game days that are happening. And I hope that for every person who has told us, oh, yeah, I do a regular game day at my church, I really hope that we can continue to work with those people and be like, okay, that is awesome. Now, how is that ministry? How is that? What does your ministry through that group look like?
Right.
And to really help people find that next step. We're in the place now where we've built community. We're almost to that place where there's real validity. Because I think in the gaming community, we've got that. Enough people know about Inroads. I was just talking with somebody. One of the people from the Dice Tower was saying, yeah, if I don't recognize you at a con, remember that I might know you only by your Twitter handle. And I was talking about the fact that so much of Gen Con, I spent walking up to people and saying, hi, I'm the guy behind the Inroads Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And every time I did that, people were like, oh, okay, absolutely.
You get to a point where you kind of lead with that.
Right. And so people know who we are and what we're doing. And I think that's awesome. But I really want to see that start happening in churches too. And I think we're getting to that point. And so once we really establish that and we have more and more churches asking us to come and participate in what they're doing, I really hope that we can start being that resource that people can partner with and be like, now how do I do ministry with this? Mm-hmm. And really encouraging people to go to that next level. I'll just kick it to you, Jeff. What, as we kind of move forward, what's something that you're excited about seeing and something that you hope to see, not necessarily in the immediate near future, but something that you hope to see when we talk about Inroads for 2016, what are some things that gets you excited?
Well, I've been leveraging Facebook a lot more. It's been kind of like an exponential growth on my part when it comes to social media.
Well, you went from 0 to 60 real quick.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been trying to branch out to other, you know, like role play groups, that sort of thing, that may not know, hey, there's Christians out here doing this as well, and they're just as, you know, neck deep in Call of Cthulhu or, you know, Star Wars or whatever as you are. But just kind of getting us a little bit more known in some of those different circles that are outside of some of the, you know, kind of the Christian/gamer-centric areas that I've seen. So kind of getting in with some of those. I think one of the first steps I did was trying to get involved with a one-shot group on Facebook, and, you know, just getting to know some of the guys and girls that are out there that are just really kicking butt when it comes to storytelling. And, you know, it's just, it's great to be involved with that. So trying to get some more exposure for Inroads in that vein. I'm looking at trying to do, and I'll obviously preview this a lot later, but trying to do more of a collaborative effort when it comes to forming a game space. And I'll leave the words game space separate because I don't want to give away too much. But yeah, the whole collaborative effort that you saw at the beginning of Inroads Victoriana, when we were kind of putting characters together and how they associate together, that sort of thing, I want to take that even further to the groundwork that goes into creating a campaign and hopefully be able to use that as a way to train up game masters out there to potentially do role-playing games, you know, whether it's at the, you know, at the church or if it's with the small groups and stuff, and how there's a lot of validity to using this as a way to get together with folks, you know, like just in general what we're doing with our ministry right now. So hoping to expand there. I want to get plugged away a lot more, or plugged in a lot more with my local church. So I'm hoping to kind of lay the gambit down. We were talking about it on the pre-show about how I'm kind of working with some of the folks at my church to, you know, kind of lay the validity for the ministry. And I want to connect it with my heart church, just, you know, my home church, because, you know, I love them so much, and I want to be able to, you know, have all aspects of what we do out there and available. So definitely looking forward to that and how that blossoms in the coming year. So, and I definitely would like to go to Gen Con. If I wanted a, like a con, not so much a concrete, but like a what do you call that? A definite want is to go to Gen Con and meet up with you. So,
well, I don't know if you know this, Jeff, but we happen to run a nonprofit where you can get people to support you like you would for any other short-term missions trip to go with us to Gen Con.
Yeah, it's surprising. Surprising. I forgot about that.
I'm only saying that, you know, I'm saying it mostly flippantly just because it's fun to make fun of Jeff.
Hey.
But really, this next year, especially because of the fact that it's questionable as to what it's going to look like for the Christian Gamers Guild and Fans for Christ element there, because the booth is, I still haven't heard whether they're going to get a booth or not. It wasn't looking good last I heard. So we're going to need more boots on the ground as far as an inroads presence there, just so that we can do stuff and continue to do the ministry that we've been doing there. It's going to look different. It's going to involve doing more. Let's get together people and play games. Let's find people to talk to and really get that. It's going to look different. That's the short version. I'm in process, because Daniel is full on going to be there with me this year. We're actually looking into the logistics of getting us there with a hotel room and providing transportation and stuff like that. But if you're listening and you're like, man, I'd really want to be part of what Inroads is doing at Gen Con, I will tell you this: I make people work. I always say that working for Inroads is going to be the hardest work you'll ever do playing.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
We have a lot of fun, but holy crap, I do not. If you come at me and say I want to be a volunteer, when Daniel said he wanted to come on as a full on volunteer, I gave him a checklist. I said, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to be giving me. This is what you need to be producing. I said, we do not. You know, if you want to be full on as a staff, not just a guy who's participating, but really be an active member of this ministry, it works. It's work. It costs. And not the financial cost, though there is that too, but it's the sweat equity of making this happen. Gen Con is a lot of fun, but if you've ever seen me the day after I get home from Gen Con, you realize I don't stop. I don't stop for 4 or 5 days when I'm at Gen Con. It's because I'm talking to people and moving and trying games, but I don't even really end up trying a lot of games because I'm just trying to talk to people.
Right.
But that's definitely something that's going to happen. We're going to do Tavern Con again next year. Yep. It was something that happened very last minute this year. Something that I wanted to see happen. But really, we got our nonprofit status, and literally, like, the following month, we were doing Tavern Con. This year, I'm starting Tavern Con prep beginning of this year, or this upcoming year. So, well,
just looking at the short amount of time you had for prep, and then how many people showed up, and I mean, it was just such a quick response. It was really awesome. People driving 3, 5, 8 hours to get to Tavern Con was just super awesome to hear.
I'm going to try very hard to see if I can get. I doubt I'll get the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen Bonacore to come out, but I want somebody from Stronghold, because they're in my backyard. Stronghold is like here in Jersey. And the fact that, I want to get somebody from Stronghold Games at Tavern Con. That's my goal for this year's Tavern Con. Hopefully I'll be able to get Jason Tagmeyer to come out again and really just continue to just make that event something special.
Yeah, make it regular. Make it, did I say regulars again?
Yeah, my long-term goal for Tavern Con, and this, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The way I see it, as because I take my president role pretty seriously.
You make me sing the song every time before we start recording. It's not fair. I mean, I'll just say that right now.
You really need to improve on that, by the way. But here's the thing. Like I see my goal is to put some stuff out there and get people excited about it. So that involves short-term goals like just the sheer logistics of what we've already accomplished this year. There's medium goals of stuff that I want to get within the next 5 years. And then there's the once if God himself were to part the skies and drop this in our laps, that's when that would happen. And one of those goals is to see TavernCon be a legit, like obviously not a big convention, but a small scale full-on convention that costs nothing to get into, a cost free to the participants. It would cost us, but my goal would be to make TavernCon eventually become a cost free small convention, like do BGGCon where it doesn't cost anything to go there. That would be something that I'd love to see happen, and that's not even on the radar yet, but it's something that I hope for and it's something that I'm praying about.
That's like praying for a website or, praying for a nonprofit status.
Or all the stuff that we've been praying for up till now.
Yeah, whatever, Mike. Come on.
All right, guys. So this is Mike actually hopping in. I'm going to save you the future Mike shtick because we did that so heavily last episode. But I am coming back at this later time because of the fact that when I started putting together the edit for this episode, I realized that right around here, I was really starting to feel how late it was that we were recording and how much I tried to get done this weekend. And it really kind of led to me rambling and not making a whole lot of sense, and Jeff very politely sitting there and listening to me ramble. And because of how important the rest of this episode is and the information that we're getting across, I didn't want it to be like that. I didn't want it to ramble. I wanted it to be clear and I wanted it to make sense. So I'm coming back and kind of redoing that. And I told Jeff that this was going to happen. So it's not that you're not hearing him because of some weirdness. It's literally just I'm coming back at this late hour to kind of redo what I didn't do right the first time. So before I get into the big announcement that I promised you at the very beginning of this episode that I was going to give you, there is a couple little news things. Partly it's news and partly it's just things that I wanted to say in this episode, but I didn't get around to saying it. The first off is that we now have a Board Game Geek Guild. Inroads Ministries has a Board Game Geek Guild. You guys actually requested it in the tavern. I asked if you guys wanted it and a bunch of people came back and said yes. So we created one, and we thought it would be a good way to kind of unveil the Board Game Geek Guild by doing a contest. We actually have a 12-dice set of Game Science Orange dice, and these dice are top of the line. They're precision dice. They are incredibly well put together. You can watch just YouTube videos that Daniel Fisher, our volunteer, has put together. Game Science dice are not messing around. This set is actually, I went on their website and checked the value of this. It is about a $50 set of dice, and we're going to give it away. All you need to do before November 30th, before the end of this month, you need to go and become a member of our Board Game Geek Guild. And there's a contest thread that I've pinned, and all you have to do is comment on that thread with something saying, this is what I'm going to use the dice for. We've had a couple people talk about role-playing groups that they want to start, role-playing groups that are already in that they want to use the dice for. Even some people who said, man, I can't wait to get that D6 and add it to the board games that I'm playing. So whatever it is, it could be anything. And on November 30th, we're going to randomly select one of the people who have made a comment on that thread, and we're going to give them that dice. We're going to send them out. So it's called the How the Dice Fall contest, kind of tie it into how we end GSP. And really looking forward to that. It's a great way to celebrate 2 years of Inroads being on the web, as well as just a good way to kick off that BGG guild. So now that being said, I do want to move away from news and onto some of the people that I wanted to thank, because when you're doing kind of a we've been doing this for X number of years kind of show, there are some things you want to do. And we did do a couple shout outs with Brent and with Heather, but I do want to do a couple more. Mostly it's going to be the guys at Saving the Game who always do such an awesome job. It's probably one of the coolest things that I've loved about this ministry is partnering with them. And especially because not only has that led to cool stuff with them, it's got us connected with some of the guys at Fear the Boot. It's got us connected with other listeners. And it's also just them being awesome. They're fantastic guys. There's the other podcast that I do with Grant from that show called The MacGuffin Factory. And that's been a ton of fun. I really love doing that podcast with him as well. And that relationship, I'm super glad we have that going. Obviously, Derek White is a huge part of what we do. He's doing so many awesome things out there in the world. And I love hearing all the interviews that he does and everything like that. Always a good shout out to Derek, because a good portion of InRoads being what it is and the direction that's gone in has been, I don't want to say necessarily directly because of things that he and I have talked about at Gen Con, but really it helped to kind of hone that. It kind of honed the vision of InRoads and what it looks like and what separates it from the various ministries that are already out there doing game stuff. We're not there to step on toes. It was actually Derek was the one who said that InRoads really is the guys putting boots on the ground in between conventions. And that's something that has really gripped me. And that was a conversation that we had this past Gen Con. I also want to throw out just a shout out to Sam Healy and Dan King, who reinvigorated the Dice Steeple. There have been, I think, at least two episodes of the Dice Steeple where they've mentioned me and or InRoads. And the fact that those guys are mentioning me and know who I am, and the fact that BGGCon, Sam actually messaged me on Twitter and said, "Mike, are you going to be at BGG?" I'm like, I just want to thank those guys for kind of giving us that shout out, because they have that huge audience. Those guys have been doing this for longer than we have, or at least have a huge, huge, exponentially larger audience than we do. So every time they even mention us, I see this huge spike in people coming to see what we do. So clearly I want to thank them. Those guys are great. I got to meet Sam at Gen Con this year, and hopefully going to get to run into him in the future as well. This year, there's been a lot going on in the podcast, and I want to thank you guys. Episode 100 happened. We had Jeff transition into the podcast co-host spot. We also had some amazing guests. We had we've now kind of rounded out the big three Bible/Christian games that we actually like, seen from Lance Hill and Pat Lysite. And I just recorded with the guys from A Game for Good Christians. That's going to be coming up later this week. And so much stuff is happening with GSP. There's so much stuff on the calendar of trying to get people to come in and talk to us and things that we're really excited about in the future. So there is so much going on, and this ministry is really growing because of you guys. And we've said it a couple times already in this episode, but I wanted to make sure I said it one more time. Thank you so much. And to kind of wrap things up, this last bit, it's funny, I just mentioned the guys from Saving the Game, and Grant and Peter will be like cheering for no good reason. They have no idea what they're going to cheer for, but they're going to be cheering right now, because to make sure this gets out clearly, I actually wrote this out as a script, so if it sounds a little bit more contrived than I usually am, that's because I am reading from a script. That is not because I'm not passionate about this. It's really just because I want to be clear, because this is a campaign that we're hoping not to add to stresses that you might already have this year, but kind of to challenge you to consider helping this ministry do what we do. So if you would allow me, I'm going to now transition into this script and tell you a little bit about our heart and this campaign we're calling One Game for All. InRoads is about the business of bringing games to the people. Whether it's gamers who are looking to find experiences they already love in a place they never thought they'd be able to have them, or opening up the world of games and the potential they have for deep, lasting impact to people who thought they were just something light and frivolous to do when you're bored. We work hard to find ways in which we can use this hobby we love to tangibly demonstrate the love of God and the power of the gospel in the lives of others. We also seek to help train churches and community leaders to go farther than just playing together and move towards intentional, active ministry using these games. stepping beyond the table and into the deep relationships with those they play with. One Game for All is a campaign Inroads will be talking about for the rest of 2015. It's a challenge. We are well aware that now, more than ever, household budgets are tight. I just bought a house, so I'm sometimes painfully conscious of the fact that money doesn't go as far as we want it to all the time. That's why we're not telling you to add Inroads to an ever-growing list of people you donate your money to. We're asking you one question. Are you willing to give up one of the games you planned on purchasing in the course of the year in order to help us bring these gaming experiences to people who would benefit from them? Are you willing to give up just one of the games you hope to see on your shelf in order to help us bring games to people who may not have ever even known the happiness you do around the table without it? The average game costs between $20 and $80, depending on the size. Break that down per month, you're talking roughly between $1.50 and $6.50 a month. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but regular monthly donations just like that help us create budgets, make long-term plans, and focus more of our efforts on doing the work of the ministry rather than trying to cover the costs of that ministry. It means we get to do more conventions or take more people with us to the ones we already go to. It means we can run more of our big-ticket games that bring people together that might otherwise never sit at the same table. It means we can produce materials like the Inroads Core Handbook that will help people do the kind of ministry we've been doing over the past 2 years. It's not bad for the cost of one game, isn't it? So, as the year closes, we challenge you to give up just one of the games you plan to add to your collection in order to help us bring so many more games to people in the process of building meaningful relationships and sharing the love of Christ around the table. Guys, we believe passionately about this ministry, and hearing from you guys throughout the course of the past 2 years, we know you do too. We know that there is something special that happens around the table. And we hope that as you have been listening to our podcasts, have been reading our website, and just participating in the awesome stuff that we get a chance to do on a regular basis, we pray that you will consider just taking whatever that value is and using it to partner with us as we do this really awesome work that we really feel that God is just on the verge of doing something really huge with. So guys, as we end with every episode of this podcast for the past several years, always remember, God is the game master. No matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.